It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair.
In the book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 1, tells us that one of his disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And Jesus said unto them, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven." I'm the kind of a person who likes to think out loud sometimes. Whenever I have an important decision to make, a sermon to preach, or a lesson to teach, or any difficult discussion to conduct with someone, I usually prepare by talking myself through it while I'm driving home in the car, sitting at my desk, or pacing the floor. How shall I phrase this, I think? What do I really want to say? Which things need to be stated right up front, right at the beginning? You've probably done that. Let's say you have an uncomfortable phone call to make, maybe to ask about a job you interviewed for 2 weeks ago, but haven't heard a word from them since. Perhaps a client is nearly 6 months late paying you, or a fellow church member misunderstood something you said, or you've just learned that a dear friend who lives in another state has been diagnosed with cancer. Before you make that call, because it's so important, you obviously will spend some time thinking about what you're going to say. And in particular, you'll think about how you want to begin the conversation. Perhaps you've even picked up the phone a time or two, dialed half the numbers, then hung back up again because you just weren't ready yet. The way you address someone matters. First things first, Our Father. Before I separate the first two words of the Lord's model prayer and look at them individually, let's first take a look at both of them together and experience the wonder of Our Father. Prayer is the privilege of communication between a child and the Father. It's not a human right. It's a privilege made possible only by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 and 20 tells us, "We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh." We should never go into the presence of God without remembering that we enter by virtue of our Lord's death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and his ascension into heaven. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Those words mean something. They're not the equivalent of a stamp on a letter that guarantees delivery just because we put it there. Our postage was paid at a demanding price before there was even a "Dear God" at the top. We may not say the words in Jesus' name till the end of our prayers, but praying in his name should be the attitude of our hearts from the beginning. Yet there's even more to it than that. Jesus is not merely the doorkeeper. He is not an usher who points down the hallway and tells us it's okay to go in and see the Father, though that would be enough. The Bible says that he actually goes in with us, praying for us. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 tells us, "He is able also to save forever those who draw nigh to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us." The Holy Spirit also joins us as we enter into the presence of the Father. Romans 8 and 28 tells us, In the same way, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.